Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of our most cherished liberties in the United States is religious freedom. Now, many nations do not afford its citizens such liberty. Nations under the rule of communism, Mohammedism, Romanism, and other tyrannical systems are not allowed what most of us may take for granted. Many other nations have what they call state religions that are traditional in those countries and are financially supported through taxation of everyone. Every citizen, whether they subscribe to that religion or not, must pay his taxes to promote and sustain that faith. In our nation, this has not been historically true. It is necessary that we become aware, however, that today in America, the religion of secular humanism is being supported through state funds and taxation because the basic doctrines of the humanist religion are being proclaimed in the public schools. And we also hear at times that the Nation of Islam is promoting through state schools their religion. Other forms of religion, such as Christianity, are being denied equal rights and opportunity. Now, this is a breach of the religious liberty and the separation of church and state that has characterized America. Religious freedom, as we have known it in this nation, is eroding right before us. Romanism has never been too kindly toward religious freedom where it had power to control. Even in our own nation, there have always been strong pressures from Catholicism that it be granted special favors from government, even at the expense of others. Many Protestant faiths have fallen into line because they desire money from the federal treasury for their churches and their religious institutions, and they are willing to conform and compromise to whatever the governmental bureaucrats demand, even sacrificing basic principles to get the money. Unwilling to afford the propagation of their own faith, they are willing and anxious to take government financial subsidy and the governmental control that goes with it. No faith, however, is worth its existence if those who hold it are not willing to support it without resorting to forcing others to share in its support. And we dare not close our eyes upon these attacks at religious freedom. We need also to be aware that schools once considered so-called Christian have also surrendered much of the ground of religious freedom by taking federal money and other forms of governmental support. Even as I speak these words, there are buildings that have been built at government expense now standing on what some of our brethren call our Christian schools, where it is technically illegal to conduct Bible classes in them, because they were built by federal funds. But many people have a very false concept of religious freedom. Freedom of religion was never intended by our founding fathers to mean the enforcement of freedom from religion. It was not intended to be a license to oppress and oppose religion as is presently being done. It was not the intent of the nation's founders to allow the formation of a state church and a state religion, but neither was it intended that the arm of government, including laws and courts and appropriations, be used to drive faith in God out of existence, as is being done. We have witnessed the banning of any semblance for prayer from public schools, the termination of Bible reading, the introduction of atheistic doctrines in textbooks, even the rewriting of history to accommodate those who are anti-religious. One could name a number of infringements against religion, while doctrines and religions that are contrary to the Bible are being promoted in the regular school curriculum. Another false view of religious freedom is that a person can believe and practice whatever he wishes, and it makes no difference. Some contend that so long as you're honest and sincere in whatever you believe, that this is all that is essential, this is all that matters, God will accept it. Now, this has been the dominant characteristic of most of the denominational world over the years. It is necessary, however, to say that many who say it does not make any difference what you believe contend with vigor that what they believe is right and what others believe is wrong. two positions or beliefs that are opposite to one another cannot both be right. Even though the absurdity of the religion of secular humanism even now contends that in spite of contradictions, both views can be right. But our question is, do we have a right to be wrong? Am I free to do and believe whatever I wish and expect equal benefit? Now, it ought to be obvious to the honest observer that the attitude that anything goes, everything is beautiful in its own way, I'm okay, you're okay, just do your own thing, only causes division and confusion, as well as being a sinister depressant of desire and motive to seek and learn the truth. Many today, seeing the chaos of our times, have sought to resolve the matter by contending there is no such thing as truth, or, if truth exists, we cannot really know what it is, and only at best can search for it, never sure of anything actually being true. Friend, this is a colossal and intellectual dishonest cop-out. We wonder how those who say we cannot know truth and cannot know what is right can be so confident that they can know we cannot know truth and cannot know what is right. Does not their very contention contradict itself? Are positions that shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, really deserving of our subscription? The problem with many others is that they want no authority over them whatever, much preferring to do their own thing, regardless of what it is, without anybody suggesting they might be wrong, or anybody prohibiting them from doing whatever they want to do, regardless of consequences to others. They despise the necessity to conform to the will of God because the will of God does not allow man to indulge itself in whatever is desired. Cannot we see that the question we're discussing has several sides that need investigation? Now, from at least three points of view, a person certainly does and should have the right to believe and do whatever he wishes in matters of religion. Whether his convictions are correct or false before God, he still has the right to hold them in certain areas. First, legally he has the right, under the laws of our land, to be religiously free. Our Constitution guarantees freedom of religions, meaning one can hold to whatever religious faith he chooses. It will even allow freedom from religion if one does not wish to profess a religion. He can have the religion of no religion. Our laws do prohibit the government from establishing and demanding any certain religion, but government is bound to protect the rights of people to hold whatever religious views they wish, so long as these views and the practice of them do not infringe on others or deny others their rights in the matter. Now, this has been called the doctrine of separation of church and state, and has been historically interpreted in our land. We are in full agreement with such a charitable position. In fact, we are thankful for it. This principle is a blessing to the Christian who is taught of Scripture to obey the laws of the land, Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. This permits the Christian to practice Christianity without governmental interference, but rather enjoying governmental protection from others as he practices his faith. Now, this freedom has often been abused by many religionists because they will do most anything in the name of religion and get away with it. The worst and most devious money-making schemes on earth are disguised under the garb of religion and protected by religious freedom. Mind control and exploitation has been practiced by the cults in the name of religion. There has been much suffering because of these abuses. But we must keep clearly in mind the distinction between the use of freedom and the abuse of it. And just how to prevent all abuse and retain the use is one of the more perplexing problems that we face. But secondly, religious freedom does grant an individual the right to choose his faith. Do you realize that God even allows a person that right? God does not force a person to even accept what God requires. One can choose to reject God if that's what he wants to do. To be pleasing to God, a person must be taught and convicted of the truth, and then willingly, voluntarily, submissively surrender himself and his will to the will of God. You see, we're drawn to God through teaching, John 6:44-45. We are persuaded to believe what we believe, 2 Corinthians 5:11, not forced. If a person ever becomes a Christian as the Bible teaches, it must be as a result of his own choice and his own willingness to serve God on God's terms and God's way. But thirdly, and this is closely related to the previous notation, the very nature of the faith of Christ requires that there be freedom of religion because Christ wants both mind and body. Men can force other men to do certain things regarding the body by physical force. Physical power is often used, even in some religions, to make people do some things. This has been the history of Romanism. This has been the history of the Islamic religion. But men can still control their hearts and minds even under those circumstances. We must never allow anyone to capture our mind against the Lord. Being a Christian comes from within and manifests itself without. The heart and the mind must be taught and trained according to the Scriptures. So we must conclude that in these areas there is religious freedom, legally, even permission from God, and because of the very nature of the faith of Christ. But even though we have the right to exercise our decisive power free from the force of others, and even be wrong, we still must bear the consequences of our choices. We are accountable, we are responsible before God, we shall reap as we have sown, we shall stand before God in judgment. And while our religious freedom delivers us from other people, dearly beloved, we are not free from religions in the sight of God, nor are we free to believe and practice whatever we wish and still have God's approval and have the right to expect His blessings. Whatever is at variance from Scripture is a violation of the will of God, and it is sin, and it is religiously wrong. The Scripture is inspired of God. It's infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient and authoritative, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. If a person wants the blessings that God offers, the blessings that He promises spiritually and physically, he must accept and abide in the teaching of God. He is not free to do whatever he wants, whatever he thinks, whatever he decides, whatever he likes, and still expect the benefits from God just the same. If we want to be saved by Christ, and there is no other Savior, we must obey Him. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him, Hebrews 5:9. And dear friend, if we do not obey Him, we cannot appeal to religious liberty and demand salvation anyway. While God will allow me and you to do whatever we might choose to do, He does not promise to bless us regardless of what we do. God's spiritual blessings and many of His physical blessings are conditional. And if I do not meet these conditions, then my exercise of religious freedom and doing things my own way will deprive me of God's favor. Notice how this applies in certain matters. If one wants the fellowship of deity and the blessings He offers, he does not have the right to be wrong about faith in God. Now, a person may choose to be an atheist, and no other person has the right to force him to do otherwise. The government does not have the right to demand that he believe in God. Now, this does not mean believers cannot and should not take issue with him, attempt to teach him, and show him the folly of his disbelief. The Scriptures teach that one is a fool who does not believe in God, Proverbs 14:1. It does not mean the atheist should not be restrained from infringing on the rights of those who do believe. But one can be an atheist if he wants to be one. But he will live the life of a fool. He'll die the death of a fool, lost, and suffer in hell of the condemned because of his choice. His exercise of religious freedom, even freedom from religion, has its consequences before God that he cannot and will not be able to escape. He does not have the right to be wrong and still expect God's blessings. Neither does a person have the right to be wrong about Jesus Christ and expect to be pleasing to God. God will not force anybody to accept His Son if they choose to reject Him. But the time is coming when every eye shall see Him and every tongue shall confess Him, and then it will be too late for those who have rejected Him. While one can deny Christ in this life if he wishes, he does not have the right to expect to go to heaven in the next life. Such a one is anti-Christ, and he stands condemned, 1 John 2:22 and 23. And no person has the right to be wrong about obeying the gospel and still expect salvation. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. And to fail to obey means eternal separation from God, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. Man has the power of choice, but it makes a difference what he chooses. He has the freedom to choose, but his choice bears certain consequences that he must bear. In like fashion, no Christian has a right to be wrong about the kind of life he is to live, or his worship, or his work in the kingdom. Error, neglect, following the sinful ways of the world, will bring eternal damnation, while following in the footsteps of Christ will bring eternal life. One is religiously free to follow whatever path he desires. But if he follows the ways of the world, he must give account to God, and also expect to be dealt with in this life by faithful brethren, because this is the will of God. People have sung songs with such phrases, "It's my life, I live it the way I want to, throw it away if I want to." Well, in one sense, they can do just that. And many are playing the role of fools and doing that very thing. As some have said, everybody has a right to be wrong at least once. Well, this is an idea some hold, but Scripture does not allow one to be the right to be wrong before God and God to be pleased with him. The one way religious freedom might be defined is this: you have the right to go to hell any way you choose. But to go to heaven, you must go the way of the Lord, or you cannot go. Now that's religious freedom. We rejoice in this freedom, and we need to be aware of the encroachments the sinister forces of Satan are making against it. We have for too long assumed nothing could take away this precious liberty from us. Others have lost freedoms because of their lack of vigilance, and the same can occur among us in this nation. We want our children and our grandchildren to enjoy true religious freedom, which is the freedom to do the will of God without harassment and persecution from without, including the government and those from whom the government is supposed to protect us. But at the same time, we must never forget what religious freedom really is and what it is not. My dear listener, we have no right, ever, to set aside the authority of God as is revealed in His Word. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.